The reading this morning is from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 to 17. Final charge to Timothy. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium and Lystra, the persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and impostors will go from bad to worse, being deceived and deceiving. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
So we are starting a brand new series this week, looking at the Apostles' Creed and thinking over these coming weeks about some of the essential beliefs that we hold as Christians. It's going to be a really exciting month or so going through this important statement. But as we kick off this series, some of you might have a question, and it's this: what is the Apostles' Creed? And that is a really good question. If that's in your mind, well done. It's a great question to ask. You know, and taking myself back to my days as a teacher, we've got to define our terms, haven't we, before we go any further. Well, let's have a look at some of the words here. The word apostle is a follower of Jesus. And the word creed is from a Latin word, credo, which means to believe or to trust in something. So what we can see, first of all, is that the words Apostles' Creed means what a Christian believes in or what they trust in. And the Apostles' Creed goes back to about the second century. So it goes back nearly 2,000 years. And it's an ancient statement of faith which nearly every branch of Christianity agrees with today. So it's a historical statement. But it's much more than just a historical statement, because still today, the statements in the Apostles' Creed hold true, even for us as believers today. So let's see what it says. What are we going to be looking at over these next 7 weeks? Well, this is the Apostles' Creed. It says this: I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. So there it is. I know that will be familiar to many of you. Maybe you've even been part of a church community that recites that on a regular basis. But we're going to be breaking it down almost line by line over the next 7 weeks and doing some teaching on it and looking at what it is that we believe. It's going to be a great time. Some of you may recognise it as well, because recently a worship song has come out that we sing here at The Free. It's called The Creed. It's I Believe, and it goes through almost line by line as well. We're going to be singing that after I've spoken this morning, and we're going to be using that during this series as part of our worship. Just a couple of things to notice before we go any further. The first thing to say is that what it says here isn't everything that a Christian believes. We're not saying this is the entirety, that this is everything that we believe. The Apostles' Creed doesn't contain everything we believe in, but it does contain the essentials. I think it's fair to say that. It's not everything we believe, but it does contain the essentials. When I think about the Apostles' Creed and some of the essential beliefs, the beliefs that we hold as Christians, I find this image useful. You know, it's a spine and ribs from a human body. And as we look at the spine and ribs, we can know a few things. We know that the spine is essential for us to live as human beings. It keeps us upright. It would be very hard to live without your spine, wouldn't it? But the ribs, although they're important, they're not essential. They give shape to our body and they help bring some protection. But if you broke a rib or if you didn't have one or two of your ribs, you could probably live a quite normal life. And I guess what we're saying this morning is this, is that the Apostles' Creed is almost like the spine of the body of Christ. It's the essential beliefs that keep us upright. There are other things that we do believe in that give shape to the community. Different preferences, different likes and dislikes. But they're not quite essential to being a Christian. And just like it would be hard to live a human life without your spine, it would be hard to live the Christian life without holding the essential beliefs of the Apostles' Creed that we're going to look at over these coming weeks. A little example of this might be creation. We're going to be thinking about God the Creator in just a few moments' time. Believing that God is the Creator is a spinal belief. How God created the world, I think, is more of a rib issue. Some of us might believe that he did it in six literal days. Some of us might believe that he did it over millions of years. Or we might have a belief that it's somewhere between the two of those. They're rib issues, but it's essential that we believe that God is the Creator. The spine and the ribs is a helpful way to think about it. The second thing that I want us to think about when we think about the Apostles' Creed before we move on is that it is important, but it doesn't trump Scripture. You know, we heard this in our reading, didn't we, from Babs, from 2 Timothy 3. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Scripture is God-breathed. It comes straight from God. It's inspired by God and written by men over many, many years. The Apostles' Creed is important, but it's written by men to try and capture the essential beliefs of Scripture. But it's not Scripture. So all through this series, we're going to keep coming back to Scripture to endorse, to back up, to underline what the Apostles' Creed says to us. The Apostles' Creed is useful, but the Bible is most useful. And the final thing I want us to think about is just to leave you with an image which we can carry with us as we go through this series. And it's the image of the Olympic torch or the Olympic flame. Here you can see some pictures of the Olympic torch being carried. And you know, they talk about the Olympic flame being eternal. It represents the spirit of the games and the continuity between the ancient games and the more modern games. And it's kept alight in Olympia in Greece since 1936. And in the build-up to the Olympic Games, every 4 years, it is carried by multiple runners to the city of the games, and a cauldron is lit. And there's a huge celebration as the games begin. I suspect you can remember back to 2012 when the torch was carried through the UK. And just the scenes of celebration and that opening, that incredible opening ceremony in 2012 as our Olympics games started. This is a similar aim to the Apostles' Creed. The Apostles' Creed is passing on the flame of faith that was lit nearly 2,000 years ago. And like the Olympic torch, it is passed down from generation to generation. And one day there will be a great celebration when we're face to face with Jesus Christ. And he can say to us, yes, you've kept the faith, you've kept those essential beliefs alight. It's going to be a great series, this series, the Creed, as we go through these next few weeks. But this morning, we're going to start with the first line of the Creed. And it is this. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. This morning, as I've said, we're thinking about God, the Father Almighty, who is the creator. And one thing you might notice straight away is that the first line of the Creed is really similar to the very first line of the Bible. In Genesis 1, verse 1, it says this, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So it mirrors that first line of Scripture. But there is one important addition, isn't there? It says this, I believe. I believe. And so by speaking this first line of the Apostles' Creed, we are saying that we believe that God is the creator of everything. That everything you can see and cannot see is created by God. That he was there before anything. And you and I are here, and everything that we see is only here because God was here first. And that he created it, that he brought it into being. That's an incredible amount of information, isn't it? That's an incredible statement just in those first few words. But it's a crucial starting point. It's crucial that you and I, if we're going to call ourselves Christians, if we're going to call ourselves believers in God, that we believe that he was the creator. It makes it very hard to believe anything else if we can't start with this idea that God was before everything and he is the creator of everything. If we go back to Genesis 1 verse 1, the Hebrew word that is used there for created is this Hebrew word bara. And bara means to create something from nothing. To create from nothing. To initiate things. It's interesting because in the book of Genesis there's another Hebrew word for create or created. And it's this, it's asa. Asa. But it's different because when the word asa is used in Genesis, it means to fashion or shape something. So, for example, when it talks about Noah building or creating the ark, it says that Noah asa the ark, that Noah fashioned or shaped the wood and those different things to create it. Do you notice the difference here? That when it talks about humans creating things, it talks about us doing asa, shaping or fashioning what is already there. So, for example, if you're a painter, then you can create a painting, but you asa the paint, you fashion or shape it. If you're a sculptor, then you asa the clay. If you're a songwriter, then you asa the words or the music. But only God can bara. Only God can create something from nothing. And this is an important belief for us to have as Christians. It's the doctrine of ex nihilo. This is a Latin word, ex nihilo. But what ex nihilo means is to create from nothing. And this is an essential Christian belief that God creates from nothing, that he was there before anything else was there. And that's why it's in the Apostles' Creed, because it's essential for you and I to believe this. It states in Hebrews 11 verse 3, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Do you see that? What was seen was not made out of what was visible. That God created things out of the invisible, out of nothing. So we could extend the Apostles' Creed, that first line, and it could say this: I believe in God the Father Almighty, who created heaven and earth from nothing. From nothing. That's what this first line of the Apostles' Creed is saying. That God began it all. That there was no pre-existing matter for God to work with. But what this means is that you and I are not here by some spontaneous accident or some cosmic fluke. It means that you and I are here because God, in an act of love, chose for you and I to be here. That God, in an act of love, spoke being into rocks and trees and nitrogen and oxygen and water and lizards and birds and giraffes and the moon and the stars and you. In an act of love, God created you. And you know, the truth of this is, and what this means is that there's no such thing as an illegitimate child. You know, maybe you've grown up and you've been told that you were an accident, that maybe you weren't wanted, or maybe that's a belief you've carried deep inside of you, and that might have shaped you for many, many years. That's not true. If you've believed that about yourself, that isn't true. You are here. I am here. Because God wanted us to be here. He chose to create you. He chose to create the whole universe out of nothing. Out of the greatest act of love. You know, the first line of the Apostles' Creed reveals so much about who you are and who I am. We are loved by God. We are created by Him, just as the whole of creation is. But it also reveals so much about the nature of God as well, and what we believe about Him. And just to finish this morning's talk, I'm just going to look at three things that we can believe about God that come out of the first line of the Apostles' Creed. And the first thing is this, is that we believe that God is uncaused and powerful. We've been saying this all along, haven't we? That God existed before creation. And that means that no one created Him. He is uncaused. He is God. One of the words we can use here is that He is transcendent. He is above creation. If you start something, if you create it, that means you are over and above that thing. You have authority over it. Now, I love how the prophet Isaiah writes this in Isaiah 45. He says this: "For this is what the Lord says, He who created the heavens, He is God. He who fashioned and made the earth, He founded it. He did not create it to be empty, but formed it to be inhabited. He says," and this is the important bit, "I am the Lord, and there is no other." We believe that God is uncaused and powerful. Why? Because He is the only God. That's what the first line of the Apostles' Creed tells us. That He is the only one. He's powerful. He's uncaused. It's an incredible thought, isn't it, that we can then call Him Father. It says that at the start of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty. What incredible. Putting that word Father and Almighty together is incredible, isn't it? That the Almighty, uncaused, powerful One, you can call Him Dad. We believe that God is powerful and uncaused. We also believe that God is gracious too. You know, when we think about God's grace, we can often jump straight to Jesus. You know, the gift of Jesus Christ, the One who through nothing that we've deserved, laid down His life, took the punishment of our sins to the cross and paid the penalty so that we can know eternal life. We often jump straight to that. But look, straight here in Genesis 1 verse 1, the first line of the Bible, It's a statement of grace, isn't it? The unearned gift of creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Before anyone deserved anything, before anyone existed, God gave the gift of the universe to us. God loves to give. He is gracious. And every time you or I choose to say the first line of the Apostles' Creed, we are reminding ourselves, we are stating that God is gracious. I've got a little challenge for you this week. When you're out and about, maybe on a walk, looking out of your window and looking at creation, looking at what God has created, I need you to say thank you to him. Even if you have to say it 50, 100, 150 times this week, every time you see part of God's creation, say thank you, you are gracious. Thank you for giving that to me. Thank you for giving that bird to me that I can hear singing outside. Thank you for giving me that sunrise, that sunset, the beach, the sea, the grass, the flowers. Whatever it is, say thank you to him. Remind yourself that God is gracious. I wonder where you need to know God's grace in your life this week. Apostles' Creed reminds us that God is gracious. And the last thing is this, is that we believe that God is personal too. Just in that first line of the Apostles' Creed, we can know that God is personal. Yes, God is the creator and he is transcendent. He is over and above his creation. But he doesn't stand away from his creation. The word we can use here is that God is immanent. God is immanent. And when we say that, we're saying that he is close, he is within his creation too. And that means we can have a personal relationship with him. We know that because it says that we believe in God, the Father Almighty. Again, it's that personal relationship. He is close. He is within his creation. He allows us to call him Father. It says this in Psalm 145. The Lord, that's God, the Lord is close by and ready to help all those who call out to him. God is transcendent, but he's imminent. He is close by. He is within his creation. You and I can know this uncaused, powerful, gracious Creator, Almighty God. He's not far away, but he's close by. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, who created heaven and earth so that you could know him. And my challenge this morning, as we finish this first week of this series, is do you know him? Do you know him? Do you have a personal relationship with this Father God Almighty? He's close by. He's not far away. And through the gracious gift of his Son Jesus, he's made it possible for you and I to know him.